You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. Nations are behaving badly, but from the point of view of cyber espionage, they're doing well. The Lazarus Group is back robbing banks in Asia and Latin America. Russia's Hades Group, known for Olympic Destroyer, is back too. Gamaradon and Cozy Bear have returned, respectively pestering Ukraine and the U.S. Iran's oil rig is upping its game with just-in-time malicious fish bait. And it's not you. Facebook has been down. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, November 20th, 2018. This week, it seems as if it's nation states gone wild. Several state-directed threat actors have returned to action this week in prominent ways. They're back in familiar but upgraded forms as the offense-defense seesaw swings up on the offensive side. North Korea's Lazarus Group is back, for example, hitting financial institutions in Asia and Latin America. They're making improved use of backdoors. Trendlabs thinks, on the basis of the loader component's service creation time, that the backdoor for Pyongyang was installed on the victim's machines on September 19th. The code's been improved, but the attack technique, Trendlabs says, is a lot like the one BAE Systems took apart and analyzed back in 2017. As usual with the Lazarus Group, the motive is financial, and this latest campaign follows on the heels of the wave of attacks on ATMs we saw develop over the last 2 weeks. Another Russian threat group, the Hades APT, is also back. Hades was responsible for the Olympic Destroyer Wiper campaign that targeted the South Korean-hosted Winter Olympic Games. Researchers at Checkpoint say that Hades has added anti-analysis and delayed execution, as well as a single-stage dropper to its repertoire, which suggests that the group is learning from and reacting to the measures used against it earlier in 2018. Three things are worth noting about Olympic Destroyer. First, it was a wiper, intended apparently for disruption, probably as a form of retaliation for the exclusion of Russian athletes who were caught doping. Second, it was used in such a fashion as to make it practically inevitable that the Olympic Committee, the South Korean government, and South Korea's allies would immediately suspect a North Korean cyber attack. But this turned out not to be the case. Third, contrary to what its name might suggest, Olympic Destroyer has surfaced sporadically since the Games, prospecting targets not necessarily involved with the Olympics or indeed with athletics at all. The Tarado backdoor campaign reported by Ukraine's CERT was initially characterized as a nation-state attack that seemed to be targeting what Russia calls the near abroad, that is, the formerly Soviet, now independent republics. Preliminary and circumstantial, but nonetheless persuasive evidence has led observers to conclude that Tarado is indeed a Russian operation. Tarado is associated with the Gamaradon threat group, widely believed to be a unit of Russia's FSB. It seems so far to have been used principally for battle space preparation, at least in the attempt seen in Ukraine. Coincidentally or not, the newly reawakened Cozy Bear, also generally regarded as an FSB or possibly SVR unit, has deployed improved phishing techniques against U.S. targets. Both the FSB and SVR are descended from the old Soviet KGB. If you're looking for rough American equivalents, they would be the FBI and CIA, since the KGB had both domestic security and foreign intelligence functions. In this case, they've refined their techniques. As Wired observes, Cozy Bear has the reputation for upgrading older, in many respects forgotten attack code, in the hope that the newly effective malware will pass unnoticed. In this case, that code is a Trojan called Canon, which uses email to communicate with its command and control infrastructure. That's old school, and it's working for them in part because it's unexpected. This latest Cozy Bear phishing expedition has spoofed U.S. State Department emails. A hearty congratulations to Ronnie Tokazowski from Flashpoint. He accepted the prestigious J.D. Falk Award from the Messaging Malware and Mobile Anti-Abuse Working Group on behalf of the Business Email Compromise Working Group. Tokazowski helped create the group back in 2015. Since then, they've helped stop millions of dollars in wire transfers, taken down thousands of romance accounts, and contributed to well over 100 arrests. Ronnie Tokazowski joins us today.
Initially, when we started, our approach was just to take a look at the phishing emails and try and attack it from that perspective. So we wanted to go ahead and give law enforcement a good spot to where we could give them the intelligence they needed in order to pivot off for their investigations, as well as trying to figure a good way to help stop this. And as we started operating and kind of looking at the different types of fraud, it started to balloon out really quickly. And that's where it started including other things such as like romance scams, real estate scams, lottery scams. So in working together on this, both good or bad, if you want to have it that way, that was where we started to understand that there was a lot more to this type of fraud than just an email and a mule account.
Can you describe to me, I mean, what was the back and forth, the cross specialty education that went on between the tech folks and the law enforcement folks? I suspect you all had specific skills to bring to the fore.
Yeah, and that's very much how we wanted to model it. So take me, for example. I'm a malware analyst. I've done reversing, and I've worked in threat intelligence. Likewise, we have some people with different walks of life who want to go ahead and want to take out romance scams, and you have law enforcement who are the ones who can arrest the people. So some of that collaboration was working directly with law enforcement to say, hey, we identify this actor. You may want to go ahead and go forth and help kick off your investigation on that. And one of the ways we like to look at it on the list is that something where I can't go arrest somebody, law enforcement doesn't have the intelligence. So we need to be able to work and collaborate together on that to make it better and start making a difference in the industry.
Take us through the process. I mean, how does a scam come to your attention, and then how does it work its way through the group?
Yeah, so the way it usually works is we would go ahead and have different individuals who may receive a phishing email to their organization. So with the list and everything, once we get those emails, everybody works together to try and fight it from a different way. So for example, someone may be able to do something with the headers, someone may be able to do something with the email sender, someone may be able to do something with a certain piece of the malware that's associated with that. So that's kind of been the approach, is to try and attack the phishing emails from several different angles, as opposed to just one different angle. And that's very much how we've operated, not just with the emails, but also with the other aspects of the list as well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like in addition to all of the good that you all are doing, that it sounds like you're having a good time doing it.
Oh yeah, very much so. Some of the successes that we've had on here, we've actually been able to watch what the actors do based on our based on some of the actions that we've taken. One good example of that is it's also caused confusion within a lot of the actors. So one case of that, it was where one romance accounts got closed, and the response, they ended up reaching back out to the victim, and they said that they didn't know if it was like another hacker who got access to their account, or they didn't know if ISIS was involved. And that's the story that they were trying to say. That's how they were trying to tell one of the victims that their accounts were closed.
Now, do you have any general advice for folks who are out there in business and personal to help protect themselves against this with the unique insights that you've gained from working with this group? Are there any basic tips you have for folks?
Yeah, so I would say basic tips is just be aware. With romance scams, usually people will try and approach you through social media, try to build up a relationship like that. So just being aware of that type of scam is one way to help protect yourself. Additionally, for your larger organizations who may be dealing with wire transfers, have different protections in place. So if you have to wire out $50,000, for example, then have that be signed off by one person. If you have to wire out $100,000, have two layers of protection in order to sign that. There's also cases where the actors will try and fly under those amounts. So by being able to know that, hey, this person shouldn't be wiring money out, or maybe something as simple as picking up the phone call or picking up the phone and calling and say, hey, did you actually send me this email? That goes really far. And very much to what I know law enforcement has said over the years, if you see something, say something. And that's another good way to help identify a lot of these types of fraud.
That's Ronnie Tokozowski from Flashpoint describing his work with the Business Email Compromise Working Group. Palo Alto Networks has been evaluating the Iranian threat group known as Oil Rig, also tracked as APT-34 and sometimes as Helix Kitten. Oil Rig is seen principally as a cyber espionage outfit, and it's been active largely against regional rivals in the Middle East. Researchers are struck by the way in which Oil Rig has been testing the malicious documents it uses as vectors for the Bond Updater downloader. Once they're satisfied, they deploy the documents in the wild. The testing is quick. Security Week calls it just-in-time creation of malicious Word and Excel files. The final test document was created less than 8 hours before the delivery document was put into final form. That delivery document was used to hit targets within 20 minutes of its creation. The goal of preliminary testing seems to be the evaluation of likely antivirus detection rates. Bond Updater itself has some interesting domain generation algorithm functionality. Other organizations have been tracking Oil Rig, FireEye, and Booz Allen Hamilton among them. Booz Allen's Dark Labs has looked at Bond Updater and the associated PowRunner backdoor, and they've discovered three additional malware variants as well as network infrastructure that makes Oil Rig a potential threat to organizations anywhere. If you've been having trouble getting on Facebook or Instagram, it's not you, it's them. The services have been suffering widespread outages beginning about 7:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Baltimore time for those of you living on other continents. Service seems to be back for now, at least intermittently, in our neck of the woods, but the problems are persisting elsewhere. This is the second significant service disruption in as many days. Yesterday it was Messenger. They're working on it. At this point, the outages seem to be accidents. If you're interested in venting, everybody seems to have taken to Twitter to do so. And various adult sites report a spike in traffic as frustrated Facebookers seek elsewhere for diversion. Come on, everybody, go out and take a walk or something. And finally, two quick notes for our listeners. We'll be observing Thanksgiving this week, so there will be no daily news briefing or daily podcast on Thursday or Friday, and no week that was this Saturday. The Hacking Humans podcast is taking a break this week as well. Everything will return to normal Monday. After the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll be rolling out a new format for our email. We've redesigned it, the better to avoid falling into spam traps or becoming inadvertently enmeshed in the array of anti-phishing measures increasingly deployed. You've seen some of these changes already with our addition of inline links to our summary. When the redesign is complete, you'll see fewer links to suggested reading in the email itself. That selected reading will remain present in its entirety on our website, posted as always with the appropriate daily news briefing. We hope you'll find the new format more user-friendly. We'll announce the date of the rollout as it approaches. As always, thanks for subscribing and reading. And if you don't subscribe to the daily news briefing, why not? I mean, the price is right. It's free. So line up and sign up today.
And joining me once again is Malek Ben-Salem. She's a senior R&D manager for security at Accenture Labs. Malek, it's great to have you back. Interesting topic you bring up today, and that is skill squatting with Amazon Alexa. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, hi, Dave. Great to be back. So skills, as most people know, are apps that are developed specifically for Alexa. Now, skill squatting is an attack that whereby an adversary can misdirect Alexa to apply or use the wrong skill. So think about cases where, the user would like to launch, let's say, the AMAX skill, the AMAX app that they use to access their AMAX account. There may be another skill deployed by the attacker that sounds very similar, but is spelled differently. So if the user calls that skill, Alexa may direct them to the wrong app. And therefore, the adversary can use that app to harvest certain credentials for those users. So it's similar to the type of attack where you type the wrong website and the adversary directs you to another website that looks very similar to what you're accustomed to seeing, and they harvest your password or, online credentials. This is a very similar way of doing the same thing just through that voice interface.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could imagine also if you're dealing with, as Amazon Alexa has to, dealing with folks with all sorts of different regional accents.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what makes this attack very interesting, is because now the adversary can predict what types of errors Alexa could make based on people's accents. And therefore, they can take this attack to the next level by ensuring that an entire region, let's say an entire region in the U.S. with a certain accent, you can predict how certain words would be pronounced and how Alexa might misinterpret them. And you can develop skills that take advantage of that misinterpretation and direct an entire group of people in a certain region to a certain skill that they didn't want to use at all. You can also do it based on gender. There are words that Alexa misinterprets based on whether the user is female or male. Those studies have been done. So the researchers from University of Illinois have done those studies on how Alexa misinterprets certain words based on the user's accent or based on their gender. So that creates basically an entire, it takes the attack to the next level, right, where it can be scalable for the adversary.
Now, what sorts of things can Amazon do to protect against this? Can they verify or I guess repeat back to you the site that they think you want to go to?
Well, one thing they can do is make sure that any skills go through a certification process before they get published to prevent that skill squatting. They can do a phoneme-based analysis for that skill to understand how it gets invoked and whether there are any similar apps that would sound similar to that skill that are available.
Well, it's interesting information. Malek Ben-Salem, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.